SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And midweek, and every entity and industry organ doing what they can to operate under the stressful and demanding and uncertain conditions, and really, it's seemingly miraculous that the tracks that are operating and planning to operate are going forward, and it's going to come, I think, as a very welcome diversion as the realities set in of the distancing and the isolation concepts, trying to minimize the spread of the COVID, and you have to just marvel, frankly, at the fortitude involved of racetrack personnel and the trainers and barn staff, etc., that are handling this, to their credit and the appreciation of the owners and horse players and fans, etc. So the reaction to the Derby move, to me, at this point, given what is being widely discussed and digested by the public, where Derby ended up on the calendar and how things are going to unfold from there, how important in the general scheme of things is it? And that to me, that's a big part of this, is you can't, you can't be so caught up in whether the Travers is going to be moved and this one, and where's, where's everything going to fall? And it's not that important. It's really not. It's a diversion, and ideally we'll be in a position to make the kinds of decisions to adjust to that, to the schedule, etc. But in the meantime, the anxiety and the angst over it just seems completely misspent right now. Yeah, on the business as not as usual, but in the business sense of conducting, what sits on the calendar. The sale proceeded yesterday. Comparing numbers is just not productive. Some horses sold for nice money. We're going to, talk to Steve Chirac and or Brian DiDonato from TDN. They're down there to their credit, went to cover, and the top seller, the American Faro Filly, $650,000, lit things up. Mr. Yoshida, Katsumi Yoshida, bringing that filly home, and she topped the sale. The top colt, a $500,000 Into Mischief, myracehorse.com, and in association with Spendthrift. So we'll get a full report. I had a little contact with Tom Ventura as well. Everybody doing what they can. And, you know, the predictably high RNA rate, you know, just based on population, et cetera, being on hand, and, you know, some of the other uncertainties. But we'll touch base with the guys and get some more details about, you know, thoughts and reaction. Thoughts and reaction, of course, to, you know, the Derby move. I got the people, I wanted to get the answer that people were waiting for on the future wagers, some really thorny issues associated with the future wager. And I, you know, at a gut level, with the race not being, with the race not being run on the projected date, doesn't that preclude that, you know, the features of the future wager, you know, no longer apply? And I just get the sense, strictly a pulse, but you get the sense that more people think of that a refund of all the pools and then starting fresh would be the ideal way to proceed. But I there's also people I'm hearing from that are very happy with the tickets they're holding. It's a weird thing, you know, and certainly the people that have tickets, authentic at 50-1 in the first pool. And a lot of the people who have all others, you know, saying, oh, I'm happy with my all other ticket. I don't know that one's a weird dynamic. You know, it's sort of like when, you know, when there's a DQ or a non-DQ, and you know, half the people are pleased and don't say anything, and the other half are annoyed and are vocal. It's a weird one. From what I gather, and from some of the things that some of the feedback, you know, a number of people expressed that they wanted to let the action ride, and a lot said, you know, wipe the slate clean and start fresh. They're going to have a meeting Thursday with KHRC, and, you know, perhaps KHRC tells them, you know, that the future wager should be voided. I mean, because there is a date on the, you know, on the conditions, you know, of, you know, Oaks date and the Derby date, but does a revised date, I don't know, is this a condition? They can talk about the conditions where there's horses that were scratched or horses that, et cetera, but what about the situation where the whole date is scratched and rescheduled? So there's so many things about this that are just so completely wrong and out of kilter. I mean, you just have to, I think, be understanding of the unique circumstances that are involved in every direction. One event, and we may, I don't know if we'll get to them today, maybe today, reached, heard from Nick Luck, and the Grand National was canceled, and without a suggestion of being rescheduled. First time since 1945. So maybe we'll get to Nick. Michael Tomlinson, as I promised the other day. Is going to join us this hour as well. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus. We've got some of the winners from 2 weeks ago we didn't get a chance to talk about, the Into Mischiefs, and then this weekend's results, including, actually, got to mention this, because exchanged the notes with Jordan Wyckoff, and the number for field pass came back very good, on the, at least on the third ref end, and he may be sneaky. And of course, all, you know, a lot of this, if you saw Jay Pribman's piece, you know, the trainer reactions, and you know, all the trainers for the most part said the same thing. You know, unique circumstance, we'll do what we have to do. You know, some are going to, you know, go forward with their immediate plans, and others might adjust, you know, where they continue to run. And you know, there's also other dust and other shoes to fall regarding everybody else's scheduling. So, saw that video of Bob Baffert with comments, and what Bob said to Jay as well. You know, first priority, health and well-being of everybody, and just happy that their, you know, Derby is scheduled. Bill Mott, we'll just keep running. Not going to wrap him in bubble wrap. He says, if I have a horse at Derby time, he'll go to the Derby. That's very, you know, just being practical. You know, we talked yesterday a little bit, you know, Maxfield, et cetera, that, you know, needed time anyway, so it benefits him. It's just a different entity. The timing is completely different, and the horse's arcs are going to be different. There's so much going on with this that it isn't, you know, it isn't worthwhile to just be completely shaken by the events. These are the least of our worries, frankly. But it's a pleasant diversion. That's what we want from it, right? That's why we do it. So we're going to talk to Steve Chirac after the break. And go from there. Seth Merrow later as well. And a couple of other visitors. Taking a break. Beautiful sunny day, cool, but a pretty day. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred racing at Sam Houston continues through March 28th with the March 21st Texas Champions Day on the horizon. The best Texas breds in the state or anywhere come together, over $500,000 in purse money. Tuesday afternoon racing starts on March 10th. The 12% takeout on all multi-leg wagers has made SHRP the most popular destination for horse players this winter. SHRP.com, Sam Houston Race Park. Follow Sam Houston on Twitter as well, SHRP.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hey, you! Come out here on the floor!
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Fitz on Sirius XM Radio.
Come out of here on the floor! Honey, let's rock some more, yeah! Now, when you get out here, don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out.
We're back in the races coming up on 20 into hour one on this Wednesday. And the workouts were last week and into the weekend. And the two-year-old in training sales season, such as it's going to be, is underway. And yesterday I tuned in about a half an hour, 45 minutes. I guess it was about 11:15, started watching. And then pretty much kind of checked in several different times, and a couple of hips were kind of watching. And we knew that the numbers were not going to be the same. It was going to be tough anyway with a $2 million seller last year. But the trade certainly went on, and Steve Chirac and Brian DiDonato of TDN doing the coverage to their credit. And it did seem, once the gavels started knocking, Steve Chirac, that there was a sense of business as usual, at least through the session. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, business as usual. It's kind of scary out there right now, but I think everybody was kind of holding their collective breath as this thing was getting underway. But you still see horses moving hands and selling for good prices here. $650,000 topper. I would never think by looking at the sheets of saying, "Oh man, the gross is down to $12 million after $22 million last year," and just the average taking a big hit. But I think you almost have to be happy with these results, considering the climate and if the sale was even going to happen at this point.
I think that's fair, and that's certainly, you know, the tone that, that Tom Ventura set with us yesterday going in, and, you know, then even yesterday, you know, recapping. Hey, last year was going to be a tough number to beat anyway. What's the difference? It some horses changed hands, and, you know, some consigners and breeders are you know, seeing the transactions go through, et cetera, and that's productive. And there's also plenty of time. I already saw quite a few, you know, PS, private sale, you know, postscript sales, and Tom said that they would keep the books open longer than usual, so there might be some aftermath purchasing as well. And, you know, there's always the aftermarket portion. Talk about the atmosphere. You and Brian doing a great job, you know, coming in and you know, talking about the unique circumstances.
Yeah, it's obviously an uphill battle here, just even from this, from our covering standpoint. We didn't make it down to SoCal. We're both covering this remotely from New Jersey right now, but we're trying our best to get a hold of everybody. Everybody's obviously always willing to talk, and the consigners have been great, and they're doing so much legwork down there, getting the word out to everybody. I'm sure there's a lot of online bidding and stuff from afar, too, happening here with the agents that are down there. It's definitely in touch with all their owners, and everybody's really going 100% at this, and I think we're all kind of all, like I said, we're all holding our breath, but you see a lot of the big names still on the sheets, and horses are getting moved, and like you just pointed out, the private sales are going to be a big thing too now after the fact, once maybe these consigners had unrealistic real expectations or wanted to hold on to the horses a little bit longer. But there's plenty of business being done at the barns even right now, I'm sure, as you keep saying, these private sales keep popping up on the sheets. I keep doing refreshes on my internet browser here, and that's also a nice sight to see now as well.
Give us a couple of backstories on, you know, some of the pinhook successes. And, of course, that's always a big part of the season when it comes to the two-year-old sale. And, you know, watching TDN, you guys have that fun, you know, pinhook guide that I very regularly, you know, I print that out. And then, you know, we'll try to scour to see, you know, who as Muirfield Insurance says, nothing but net on the turnaround from yearling to two-year-old purchase. Talk about the Zayat bred American Pharoah filly that led the session.
Yeah, it's always great. This is one of the fun things that I've always loved about the two-year-old sales. You see the pinhooks, whether you have the numbers are bigger. Some guys, you try to see pinhooking $500,000 yearlings. As there was a quality row that I believe R&A yesterday that was a very expensive yearling. But then you also have horses that are $20,000, $30,000 yearlings, and guys could hit them out of the park. Names like Kirinda, Nick Demerick, the folks at Topline and Pickview, all these, the consigners all kind of still stepping up and doing what they do here, and it's nice to see them get rewarded. There was a Run Happy from Pickview sell for good money. I think $475 was the number. They sold Structure last year, the Breeders' Cup winner, so it's nice to see some new faces getting into the pinhooking game as well. Topline is also a name that's coming up there. They're doing well selling their horses, but you're still seeing a lot of the veteran consigners, the Kieran Dunns and Nick Demericks and Eddie Woods. They're still popping up with these kind of horses too. And the thing that's scary with these two-year-old sales right now, obviously they're getting pushed back, some are getting canceled. Thankfully, OBS is going on here. But the whole thing, you have to have these guys get their money back, too. The yearling market, looking ahead, you don't want to look too far ahead now. But no two-year-old sales or everything gets pushed back. These people all have so much money vested into the sport, and this is their livelihood to move these horses. If they don't move these two-year-olds, are they going to be shopping for yearlings? It's kind of hard to imagine. You don't want to panic at this point, but I think that's the big worry at this point. If people, you need to move these horses now that these people are banking on selling as two-year-olds.
Well, and one of the other things that I guess is predictable in, you know, in this setting is that a lot of the bankable pedigrees and breeze results to match are going to, you know, command the top dollar. I mean, and that was going to be true. Honestly, that would be true anyway, but it doesn't seem like it's a scenario where people are going to be as willing to roll the dice. Although I will mention there was the $390,000 Air Force Blue Colt that Willis Horton bought.
That horse had a beautiful move, and obviously these first crop sires, people always seem to gravitate towards. But of all the horses that I was putting down on my list here, of my short list, just based off of Breezes, he might have been in my top 10 of just how horses were moving. So he obviously had the physical part of it going too, but Willis Norton always buys some nice horses, and looking forward to see that horse run for sure. I hope he'll be on my stable mail going forward.
That was early in the session too, consigned by Racehorse, Brandon and Allie Rice. And it's kind of funny. Air Force Blue with two extremes on the day, only had two horses that sold. He had a couple that came out, but had the $390,000 colt, and then had a $2,000 filly. So both ends of the spectrum, right?
Absolutely, but that's the thing. These freshman sires are in the spotlight down here, and everybody wants to kind of have the first one, and they seem to gravitate towards them at these sales all the time.
There's four more Air Force Blues that'll sell today, and one that came out. We mentioned the American Pharaoh. There was a second nice seller, fairly late in the session, hit 319. The another Kieran Dunn, 320,000. John Kimmel bought, and don't know if that's for, you know, if there's a client associated with that. Did you hear anything about who John bought this for?
I didn't. I know he's been buying for the same owner for the last couple of years. His name slips my head right now, but he's been shopping for the same person the last couple of years. They've had some success, and it's good to see him back to the well. And he's been showing up at these two-year-old sales with a lot more enforced the last, I'd say, two or three years.
We've got, you mentioned the Run Happies. Let's touch on some of the other first crop results that caught your eye.
You didn't see a lot from them yesterday, but I think they have their big bulls today. Everybody was kind of waiting for Nyquist and Frosted this year. There are a couple, I think, that are going today that are going to be standouts. There was a Nyquist I liked a lot yesterday, that R&A. I haven't checked to see if it was a private purchase yet, but those were two of the big names at the yearling sales, watching the Breezes. I really liked how the Nyquist moved on the track. I was really excited to see them sell here, but I think today you're going to see them pop up a little bit more. Those are really the two big names, and obviously it's impossible not to think of Run Happy with all the advertising, and they've held their own in the ring too, and just seeing the one sell for $475 yesterday was a really good sign for him and a good indicator. But I'd say Nyquist and Frosted, you're going to hear some things about. Oh, and also Exaggerator. I really like the way some of them move. Some of them looked a little grassy to me, but I think I had maybe three or four hits to watch by Exaggerator on my list too. But if I had to say those three, Nyquist, Frosted, and Exaggerator are kind of the big three I'm looking for and thinking you might see more results from today that opens some eyes.
Speaking of today, what's some of the top hits to watch?
Let's see here. I don't have the numbers right in front of me at the moment. I know there was some Nyquist and Frosted, like I was saying. Into Mischief had a lot of horses to watch. You had a couple of good sales yesterday. There were some Constitutions late in the sale that can make some noise. That the hip numbers don't have right in front of me right now, but it's kind of the usual suspects of some of those big sires. You could see some breakout horses, and just the general vibe from the consigners and even the folks at OBS, everybody seemed to think that some of the better horses were going to be on day two. That's how kind of the sale has worked in the past, that the day one's a lead up. And I know this year, obviously, people maybe were waiting around a little bit longer, but I think you are going to see some bigger numbers going today, hopefully.
Steve Chirac with us from TDN. And Steve, did you get a chance to kind of peruse the out list and see, you know, there's also the potential for, you know, some fancy pedigrees to, you know, to pull back and wait and, you know, show up wherever things are going to, you know, whether it's a, you know, whatever the April sale, however that's going to materialize. I mean, that's become a key two-year-old season shopping center. And now we've got at least tentatively scheduled Timonium, Phasic Tipton, combining the Gulfstream, the rescheduled Gulfstream or canceled Gulfstream sale. I wouldn't be surprised if some people just felt like, let me take my prize pig and I'll go to the fair, you know, down the road.
Yeah, there were seemed to be a higher amount of scratches than usual here. I will say with this sale, since they opened it up, I think 4 or 5 years ago now, it's no longer a select sale. that you're not really going to see the big flashy pedigrees like you would at the Phasic Gulfstream sale. That has
right.
more of the flashy siblings, but you still get this sale really now is not, you're still going to get the top sires, you're going to get some nice freshman sires, but they're really more about trying to get the nice physicals, getting people attracted to how the horses look, and maybe you could live with the page if they're a little weak on the dam side, but you're still going to get some sire power here for sure, as you see with American Pharoah and Mischief and these freshman sires that everybody's excited about. But we'll see with these other sales. OBS April, really everybody you talk to now really compares it to Keeneland September of the yearling market, that their catalog keeps growing. There's something for everybody. There's those really expensive top price lots over the, you get the seven figure horses there, but you're also going to get the middle market guys showing up too, because there's so much to choose from. But people do like to think of it as the Keeneland September sale now for 2 year olds, but we'll see. They haven't made an announcement yet. It's very shaky grounds of even getting this sale off, and they're going to have to make decisions soon if they push back or if they try to add a sale. That they're already at capacity for April, but they're going to have a lot of horses still that need to get sold after however this shakes out here between the scratches and RNAs. There are going to be a lot of two-year-olds that still need to find new homes. So kind of just waiting like everybody else, and we'll get through today and see where this thing ends up.
Absolutely. Well, and just as I thumb through the results pages from yesterday, the Frankel, the one Frankel in the sale, $320,000. The Team Cassie took home.
Yeah. That was also one to watch, too. I think Kieran Dunn was a little disappointed with the price, but he of all the consigners, maybe some people held on to horses, he got rid of almost everything. I think he sold 10 out of 12 yesterday, and he was confident that his other two were going to be private sales. He's been doing this a long time, and even if he was maybe disappointed a tick with a couple, it's all about turnover and keep the trains rolling. He wanted to keep moving his horses and just keep going on. But I believe he did say he thought that one was maybe going to bring a little bit more. And he definitely thought she was a rock star and was very high on her and going to a very smart buying outfit in Team Cassie. So it's another one to keep an eye on going forward, and excited to have a Frankel in the States here to watch for the two-year-old season.
Well, the weekend was good to Kieran as well, indirectly with the purchase. He had been involved in the purchase of Field Pass for the Wyckoffs. The Jeff Ruby winner as well. So the waiver tree.
Yeah, that was a very nice race. He's got another, I guess, horse on the Triple Crown Trail and Derby Trail here, but that horse ran a big race over there. His win at Gulfstream was really nice. I gravitated to the wrong horse out of the Tanya Beach, but it happens. But that was a real game performance for him getting up there. It was a good race. But those are the all ends. A lot of these consigners, they're selling two-year-olds. They're breaking horses. They're buying horses privately. Everybody kind of does a little bit of everything. But this is obviously the bread and butter here, the two-year-old sales for a lot of these guys.
Well, tune in. I'll have the sale on in the background, 10:30. We kick off with day two, and the usually busy 2 year old in training sale season for TDN coverage. You're going to have this blast, and then you'll take the wait and see, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. We're just waiting like everybody else and hoping things kind of get back to normal here at some point, but. Just for the industry, just thankfully these races are still being run at some tracks. I know everybody wants to be out there, but you can't. But just keeping some sense of normalcy now of having these races going and hopefully getting these two-year-old sales going to keep the market alive and keep the turnover going, because we need to keep this thing obviously on the right track here. But it's very scary times. It's hard not to see it that way, but we just have to pray for the best and keep moving forward here.
Exactly. Steve Chirac, everybody, from the Thoroughbred Daily News, and all the sales coverage, as always, extensive and detailed. So pull it up and follow along. Steve, stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Steve Chirac, everybody. And you can follow Steve and everybody on the staff at TDN. Steve Chirac, TDN. This is address. Take a break. Past the bottom of the hour, Michael Tomlinson is going to join us. And last week I had mentioned when Chuck had visited on Wednesday, I said that Mike was going to visit. We didn't get a chance Thursday, Friday. But want to get his thoughts. He had some perspective from, a smaller size stable to last week. And, so much of what we hear when it comes to the suspicions of people cheating. A lot of times, we as horse players, we will say, well, why don't the other trainers, why don't they complain? Why don't they? And it's a tough situation to be in. And, Chuck has addressed that before, actually. We've had that discussion. And, you don't ever, you don't want to be perceived as, as jealous and disgusted that you don't have the kinds of horses that other guys have and, other outfits have. So, that's part of it. But maybe that'll change in part because of last week. Step away. Michael Tomlinson joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Step on side to side. Body's gently moving. I let myself fly these days. Thanks for miles and miles. Crowd's been slow.
Only you I see.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 to the top of the hour. Sid Fernando, join us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. That coming, we got a lot of the three-year-olds to talk about. And right now, though, Michael Tomlinson joins us, and ideally, we'd like to reach out to Michael to congratulate him on a stake win, and that's the ideal circumstance. The conversational focus on the rip from today's headlines manner of discussion. And first of all, Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Everybody okay? Vicky and everybody healthy and secured?
So far, so good, buddy. We're all doing just fine. Enjoying the Florida sunshine.
Yeah, well, and with no Keeneland, I suppose you might stay a little bit longer, no?
Yeah, the plans have had to be altered a little bit, but you know, it especially Vicky, it's a real tough job for her to have to stay down here and go to the pool and and cook and relax, and she does a good job taking care of me as well as spending her time relaxing.
Well, and we should explain that you know that Vicky Tomlinson and certainly everybody that competes in Kentucky knows Vicky's role working at Churchill in the Horsemen's Relations Department, and just, you know, one of those people along with Tracy Wilkes in the afternoons too, that, you know, kind of makes things go between the racing office and you know, the winner's circle and, you know, all the things that, you know, that go on kind of behind the scenes. And I'm going to circle back to last week in a minute, Michael, but given your position and Vicky's role with Churchill, I mean, the reaction to the Derby move and, what having a Derby means to Louisville, essentially.
Well, I think that's the reason for the postponement, not the cancellation, what occurred with Keeneland. The Derby is such an important event in the horse racing world, as well as locally for Louisville. You know, it's just a situation where I don't think it would be wise to totally cancel it. So hopefully this works out, and all these bumps in the road that we're experiencing right now in the racing world will smooth out, and everything will be back to normal, we'll all be enjoying the great sport that we all love in the future.
And when it comes to the way you're handling it, and the perspective that I wanted you to offer to last week's headlines really the just awful and such, you know, such disgust and disappointment associated with the indictments and with the, you know, the high profile horses involved, etc. I wanted you and you offered to share your perspective, because you're a real rank and file horseman outfit with, you know, somebody that, you know, that averages about 175 starts a year, you know, year in, year out, has stake horses when they come along. And, you know, without you, the game doesn't function. Talk about, Michael, your thoughts as to what we witnessed last week and your gut reaction, and then what you think it means long term.
Well, my initial thought was, it's about time that we finally get to the bottom of what's been going on, because horsemen like myself have known for years that there were certain people who were taking an edge and taking advantage of the situation, and it was a real frustration trying to outrun certain trainers It was even a bigger frustration of having those trainers claim horses from you that were nice horses, very solid kind of horses. And you look up in about 3 to 4 weeks, and the horses have run, their buyer numbers have improved 15 points. And it really reflects on the guy who's trying to play by the rules. It's finally a vindication for us folks out here who are trying to do it right, trying to take care of the horse primarily, and in turn, by taking care of the horse, take care of the owner. And it's been a real source of frustration for many of us.
One thing I mentioned coming into the segment too, Michael, and it's something that Chuck Simon, who you know well, that Chuck has addressed before too, which is the public, and really more the horse playing public especially, not ever understanding why other outfits, why other trainers generally, you know, didn't come out publicly, and it's not just this specific set of circumstances, but it really, you know, over any period of time. Explain what the thought process is about, you know, maybe complaining to, you know, racing secretaries and to, you know, racetrack management about what's potentially happening, but, you know, really not, you know, really not expanding, you know, the complaints, and I don't want to say accusations, but not, you know, making more public, you know, the unhappiness with the situation that's apparent to you.
Well, you know, we as an industry, as well as, you know, a social issue, there's a lot of pressure to win at any cost. And it bleeds right over into sports of all kinds. And consequently, you will have people who are trying to take an edge and trying to beat you, whether it's fair or not. But, you know, with that being said, you know, without knowing and being able to prove that things were going on, you know, it's a slippery slope to step out there and start accusing people of cheating, mm-hmm. even though through your decades of experience, you know it's not normal for horses to run the kind of races that some of these horses were running. So, you know, you can complain, you can talk to owners, and I feel somewhat vindicated because I've been chirping for a long time about this, and knowing that something was going on, as a lot of people have. Finally, the proof's in the pudding, and maybe, you know, there's more dominoes yet to fall, in my opinion. There's, you know, it wasn't just two people. I think there's more people that probably are very nervous at this point in time, and as well they should be. So hopefully with the proof coming up, the cream come to the top, and we finally know what happened and what they were doing, maybe it'll slow things down and it'll make a lot more even playing field for us guys who are trying to do it right.
On that topic, I really want to follow up with two elements. One, and I even said this in the immediate aftermath, because as you just said, this can't, even under these circumstances, it isn't a license for anybody to just, you know, pell-mell accuse anybody that seemingly has improved a horse just immediately, you know, make accusations. And as somebody, Michael, that, you know, that really is a meat and potatoes horseman that only takes on as many horses on the shed row as you can put your hands on. You talk about the real practical and successful elements of, you know, claiming a horse and improving them, because there's plenty of people out there that are going to continue to get a horse at the claim box, find out, you know, something that's been bothering them and improve them. And this cannot be, you know, just a environment where you're immediately accused for doing a good job.
Well, that's exactly right. And there's many instances of horses who have been claimed that the trainer found something that the previous trainer overlooked. I've been lucky enough in a few cases to do that. But as the majority of the time, it's a higher instance of holding the horse's value than improving one. If you can claim a horse, hold its value, win a race, the owner makes a little money, you sell the horse in the future race through the claiming box and you move on, that is the norm. The exception is the horse that you claim and it moves up, and it will happen, but it's not going to happen on a day-by-day basis like it was in some of these guys that we have taught in the act here lately, and some of the guys who have given in to the dark side. It's going to happen, but it's the frequency and the regularity of it that makes a difference.
Fold in the ownership side of this too, and you made one reference to owners, and you know what has to be maddening, to know that you're operating on the level and, you know, doing, just a job that any owner would be, you know, happy with, and, you know, watching whether it's new owners or probably even more frustratingly, existing owners gravitate in a direction of people that, you know, that you are fairly confident are not, you know, following all the rules.
Well, you know, there again, as I was talking about earlier, you know, you're always going to have that segment of the population that win at any cost.
Right.
And
right.
The owners that have that mentality, not all of them, but some of them have no respect for the horse. The bottom line is the horse is why we're here. The horse should be protected and the horse should be cared for at the highest level and let the chips fall where they may. But if you are an owner, and we all want to win, but you can't tell me that these owners that were participating with these other people did not, at least in their gut, know that something wasn't right. And I call on, people's conscience to change that thinking and to go with their gut feeling when they know something's not right. So it's quite a dilemma. You know, we all want to win, but there is a line that some people have crossed. Absolutely.
I also, Michael, would love you to address what is going to be seemingly a blurry line, and I think there's probably a lot more conversation that's going to come out as as the arraignments and whatever, I'm sure there'll be plenty of plea bargaining that goes on. But one of the things that I think a lot of people are waiting to see shake out is what products in terms of supplements and whether they're homeopathic, whatever kind of natural supplements that horses can receive that are absolutely, drug free essentially, but are designed, to help the equine athlete. I mean, it's going to be very murky, and maybe that's a good scenario, but you're the ones that are on the front lines caring for the horses daily, and people do need to understand that there's products that are beneficial and legal that can help the horse. And in some cases, particularly when it's going to come to the discussion regarding that SGF 1000, at some point it went from benign to malignant. And it's unclear when that happened. But what's your feeling on understanding what you can give a horse these days and what you can't?
Well, I think it's the line is performance enhancing. And there are many, many good therapeutic medicines and supplements that allow a horse to run to his natural ability. But as we know, these guys have been using performance enhancing drugs.
Right.
And my in my humble opinion, coming from a small guy who his livelihood is dependent on this game, we've got a lot of stuff going on right now. We got the Integrity Act that they're trying to get through, which my personal opinion is the last thing we want is the federal government running our business. We need all of the states to come together, get a representative from each racing jurisdiction on a board that sets the rules and the penalties, and we need them to stick with those rules. Constantly what I hear of the problem is the perception of horse racing. And I think that, when this came out last week, I was really nervous about what that would do to the push forward on the Horse Racing Integrity Act. And I think we all agree something needs to be done, but I'm just not a person who agrees that it needs to be done at the federal level. But the perception comes from the lack of penalty for the repeat offenders in our game. We have people training right now that have had dozens and dozens of bad tests and been caught doing things that are very contrary to racing rules. And they get a little slap on the wrist and they're back training and back rocking and rolling in 6 months to a year. There needs to be a three-strike rule. There's all kinds of ways, and we can't cover it in the time that you and I have, Steve, but the perception of our game is not coming from eliminating Lasix. It's not coming, from a lot of the things that they're going after. But the perception is the repeat offenders, that they keep going, they keep coming back, and everyone knowing that these guys have been using performance-enhancing drugs, not the good therapeutic medications. I challenge anybody to tell me that if Tiger Woods takes an ibuprofen the night before he goes on the golf course, does that make him a better golfer? No. It just allows him to compete to his ability. And that's all any of us want, is a level playing field.
Well, and to be able to, you know, make responsible decisions for the equine athlete, you know, in partnership with the athlete, to help them to perform at their best level.
Well, you know, if we end up going to hay, oats, and water, the thing that the betting public is going to experience is a lot more inconsistencies than the way the horses run. Consistency should be something that we as owners and trainers and the racing industry should be concerned about. Consistency allows the handicapper, who is the life and blood of our business, you know, to bet responsibly and bet confidently that he's getting a fair shake. And I think they're going to run into a big problem, as well as others, if all this happens through the Integrity Act. And it's, you know, our game is changing, and I don't mind changing with it. When you go to hay, oats, and water, there's always going to be guys who are looking for the edge. And if you've got enough money to know how to beat the system, like these guys have done for years, it's going to widen the gap between the guys that are playing by the rules and the guys who are taking the edge. So, you know, it's a real complicated time we're going through right now.
Michael Tomlinson with us. He's literally a cowboy, Oklahoma State cowboy, and one of the guys I reference. Although I'll tell you what, you're getting to be almost the last cowboy standing with Scooter Dickey retiring. And you know, Carl Nasker, you know, kind of pretty much retired. You're the anybody else around the game with a belt buckle or two?
Well, you know, there's a lot of younger fellas that I've heard about, but you know, when you get a few years on you, you start getting separated from all those folks. So it's just it's a situation where I don't know many of them anymore.
Well,
you know, all my cowboying was done back before the war, you know. And I don't mean that literally. I'm playing. So,
well, Michael Tomlinson, one of our absolute favorites, and Vicky on hiatus until such time as the Churchill spring meet some decisions are reached. We'll see how that is going to play out. But Michael, I was eager to get you on and you know, let everybody hear from you, because the game absolutely counts on horsemen like you, and you know, honest, hardworking, and you know, applying the trade, you know, very, very quietly, and you know, always capable when a Sir Cherokee comes along, or you know, any of the nice stake horses that you know, that you've managed. So I appreciate the insights, and you know, continued success. Keep everybody healthy. The boys, where are the boys spread out?
Well, we got the youngest, and he's down here in Florida working. Matter of fact, he lives about a mile from Gulfstream, so we get to see him quite a bit. My middle son is home from Thailand for a while, and my oldest son is an attorney there in Kentucky. So we got everybody back in the States, and everybody's doing great, Steve.
Well, hope everybody stays safe and healthy. Mike, best of luck going forward. We'll look forward to home base running soon, and we'll see you down the road, as Proctor says.
Okay, buddy. Nice to talk to you.
I really appreciate it. Michael Tomlinson, everybody, with the kind of frank conversation and reaction that we need to hear from. Take a break. Top of hour two, a little past, and Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. As mentioned and promised, Nick Luck in a little bit. In the wake of the Grand National being canceled and racing being halted, yesterday the British Horse Racing Authority making the decision to suspend racing. So we'll get Nick's reaction on that. We'll also get, hadn't had a chance yet Monday, Tuesday, to do any, never even mentioned the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So we'll let Nick zip in on that. And you may see the news circulating that NBC has made an arrangement to essentially pass through broadcast the TVG Trackside Live action this weekend. So to some degree, between Fox and now NBC, the only seeming live sports action out there is going to be thoroughbred racing. It's unbelievable. Let's take a break. Sid Fernando joins us next, back in Brooklyn.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Open up your heart, what do you feel? Open up your heart, what do you feel? Is it real? Yeah. The Big Bang may be a million years away.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 15 into hour two. And Sid Fernando joining us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid back in Brooklyn as his trip and son Joe's spring training derailed, of course, by the pandemic.